from the podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. It's Grant's Rants Small Talk.
Let the ranting begin. I am joined by Housewives superfan and fan of Grant's Rants. Jamel is on the line. Hello, Jamel.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
We recapped earlier this season. I believe the hashtag for that episode was loyal, not loyal. And that's, I think, our top performing recap for this season of New Jersey. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you. That's really interesting. Thank
right?
you.
Right? Yeah, I noticed that. It's the high, at least as far as YouTube goes. I think about 1,000 people have listened to that on YouTube, which is crazy because usually the podcast numbers are much higher than that too. So a lot of people listen to that recap. So I definitely want to have you on. And it's the finale. We're talking about the episode entitled "Prisons, Proposals, and Parties." And I have to say, I was not disappointed by this finale. I kind of enjoyed it. How do you feel about it?
You know what? I thought that it was I enjoyed it too. It was sort of emotional. It was a couple of emotional moments. So yeah, I thought it was pretty rich, the finale. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't Beverly Hills, you know, but it had some good things to it.
Well, Beverly Hills isn't Beverly Hills anymore, in my opinion. So I mean, I'll take what I can get these days. I'll take what I can get. As far as this recap goes, last week I had Shira Weiss on from the Huffington Post, and we talked about Gorga's restaurant, and we said that it was closing. I do want to make a retraction, I guess, but I do want to acknowledge that, yes, the restaurant is physically closing. Most people know by now they want to open up a larger location. Melissa Gorga was on The Morning Breath, and she was talking about how they were just overwhelmed. The location was too small, so they had to close it, and they had problems with management. So apparently there's going to be a new one coming because it was very popular. I imagined it had to be popular. So I don't know. Do you have any intel on this?
No, not really. I mean, I was interested recently thinking about going to New Jersey just to see if I can catch one of them in there, because I just thought, well, why don't I go to New Jersey? But not really.
Yeah. Yeah, don't bother now. So, nevertheless, let's get into the recap. Margaret is, quote, forever young. She's going for alterations on her birthday dress, which I don't believe is the most flattering. But there's another dress in this episode that I also have to comment on, which we'll get to later. But Danielle arrives, and she kisses Margaret's ass, per usual. But I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I think they make sort of a good match. Margaret for Danielle is sort of like Kim D, you know, but less toxic. You know, Danielle always liked that woman with blonde hair who had a lot of money, who liked to have fun, who's flamboyant. So, yeah, they cute together. I like them in the scenes that they do together.
Yeah. Now, Siggy is all over her son again. He is getting ready for a prom, and he's asking her for a flask for water. We all know that being around her, he's going to need something a little bit more than that.
That's true. But you know what? That store, that was a scene, but that man, I was so focused on the person who was helping him. He was drop dead gorgeous. Oh. I said, whoa, wait. I mean, another reason to go to New Jersey, because the person who was helping him, I said, he going to do your alterations and tie you up? I said, let me go down and get a suit. Wow.
There you go. I love it. I love it. You know, we take what we can get from these shows. So why not a little eye candy? Why not? Mm-hmm. So then, you know, did you notice that he called his mom Sig? Isn't that kind of odd? He's like, you're a good mom, Sig. That was weird to me. I mean, I know she refers to herself that way, so they're a little odd. So it's prom time, and, you know, she's the type of mom that has to pull out the baby pictures. You know, I'm not surprised. She would. She would have to bring out, like, a half dozen to a dozen pictures and lay them out on the kitchen island. And, I mean, she's definitely one of those moms, so I don't know what else to say about Siggy at this point. I don't think she's a bad person. I don't really dislike her, but she's a little wacky, and she's got to figure out her life because this show's done nothing for her. So I don't know what else to say about Siggy. Obviously, we're going to recap the show and all that, but I don't know. It's almost uncomfortable to watch these scenes with her family because I feel like she's just not right.
You think that you don't feel that Siggy is right in the way she do things?
I don't think she's, like, feet on the ground. I think that she's just something off about her. I mean, I don't know what those hormones did, but I don't, you know, this show is just not a good look for her at all. So towards the end after this season, I'm a little little tired of her in general, but what is your, you know, we talked about a dress a moments ago, this girlfriend's dress. What did you think of the date's dress to the prom?
Oh, I thought it was a little unusual. That's for sure.
Yeah, and to me, it looked like she was walking in with a beach cover up, like she's in South Beach. Like, I don't know what she was wearing, and like, you know, usually it's everyone's, especially like the mothers and the grandmothers, it's all about, oh, look at that dress. I bet that after she left, people were having a conversation about that dress, because it really wasn't a dress. It was like she was wearing like workout clothes, like white, like a white tube top under some mesh dress. So I wasn't about that. I mean, I don't really care. I couldn't even tell you her name. I think it was Dina or something But I couldn't care less. But it was an odd choice for a prom. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's talk about Charisse's birthday, her surprise. She had nice letters written to her from her daughters. What did you make of the birthday?
Well, that was the part that I was thinking about was a little touching. I mean, the simple fact is, if you're a person who watched the show from the first season, you know, from them to have like the, well, I forgot what it is. Oh, the brownstone. Here we go. The brownstone and cars and all that. Now to this year where you have, you know, which is more authentic. I loved it, but it was very small. It was very, you know, just sort of put together. I thought it was touching, but it sort of had a little bit of melancholy for me because it just, you know, her whole life, Teresa's life is just different than it was in the first season. And, but I thought it was sweet. I did like that the girls made an effort to try to jot down something on those cards. And, I actually thought that she was surprised, you know?
Yeah.
So it just was, yeah, it wasn't, again, not Beverly Hills, nothing too, you know, big.
Right.
It was just all of them around the table. No decorations, mind you. Just like a table with a little bit of stuff on it, and there we go, bam. I was like,
yeah.
Wow.
Very scaled back for them, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was real. I mean, you know, when people don't have milestone birthdays in my family, that's how we do it. We don't necessarily surprise people, but, you know, you sit in the dining room and the close family comes, and it was very realistic. For me, I could relate.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So what else can we say? Oh, yeah. Teresa hasn't seen her husband in over 7 months, which means her kids haven't seen their father in over 7 months. And when the kids were asked if they could go to the prison or not, two of them can't go. Gia can't go and Gabriella can't go. Gabriella, she can't be bothered with any of them. She's so embarrassed. She's like, she's like, I have 2 soccer games. I'm not coming. And I'm like, well, well, I guess she's not that worried about seeing her father. I mean, that's a long time. For me, that's grounds to miss a game. You know what I mean? Miss a game. It's you know, you haven't seen the guy. It's special circumstances. You probably play soccer at least 3 times a week. Miss a game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that with but Teresa and Teresa in general, they have a lot of things bubbling. You know, even though they've been on that show for a long time, they never really gonna be as literal as some other, you know, members of different series of the Housewives. They're going to sort of be very tight-lipped. And so the daughters are probably, instead of saying, I don't want to see him, and like you just said, it was a perfect point, but they didn't push it. They're just going to, you know, go, okay, well, maybe you'll wait another 7 months before you get a chance to see your father, which was, again, it was all sad. The whole thing, that all of it was beautiful, it was touching, but like you said, the conversation they was having about, you know, going to see their father at her little surprise get together. It was all just a very real moment, very sad. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. You know,
yeah.
Maybe they feel disappointed and they become teenagers, so they have opinions. So they're not really
right.
These little girls playing with dolls anymore that you can just sort of put in the room. They know what's going on.
I can't I can't blame those two girls for it. You know, I'm sure I couldn't blame them. I mean, they should go if they're good with their father. But like you said, I can't blame them if they're angry at him. You know, like you said, they have their own opinions. So I can't fault them if they're just saying that they're busy because they don't want to see him. I get it. So over at Margaret's house, we're introduced to Marlene, a dancing housekeeper. Where have they been hiding this one the whole time? I liked her.
Oh, yeah, she came in salsa. She came in cha-cha. I was like, wow, yeah. Go ahead, girl. And she was ready for that party, and she was getting ready.
And later on in the party, they cut to her, and she was getting down on the dance floor all by herself.
Yes, she was.
Good
for
her. I mean, I imagine working for Margaret must be kind of fun. I mean, she's not going to yell at you or, like, you know, have super high expectations about cleanliness. Not saying the woman's dirty. I'm just saying she's not going to – I can't imagine her, you know, going through many different housekeepers and, you know, being, you know, outrageous in demands. That's my point. So she must have a good time working for her.
Right. You're saying that Margaret is now Lorelai Gilmore. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. She's not an Emily Gilmore. There we go.
Right, right. That one. Yeah, no, I don't think she's that extreme. Then this big rendering of the ballroom is coming. And I just love how I love when they have to put a spin on these things to make it seem like, you know, we're about to see, you know, this inside piece of art, this divine piece of art. But these images came, these digital prints of how they want to renovate this room. And you know, it's very much in style with her house. I didn't dislike them. I loved all the use of green and the white marble. I think it has a lot of potential to look attractive. So anyway, Joe is, now we're getting ready for Joe's prison visit. And Teresa says that, you know, she, this is exactly what I predicted. The fade to black. That she said, you know, they're going to go and see him, and she's let down by him, and they're going to have a conversation, and the two girls are in the back, and then it fades to black, and then it comes back. And Teresa says that she got caught up in emotion and lost all of her courage. And I was like, really? Why would they even bother? Like, that was so pointless. I was so disappointed at that moment in time. But then again, we learn later more things happen, but I wasn't totally shocked that she chickened out. What?
No, me neither. I think that as tough as she is, and that's one thing the cameras cannot, you know, hide. A woman is a tough woman. She went to jail, for God's sake, and she came out, and, you know, and she's been tough on the series. Then when it comes to her husband, she's very traditional. She doesn't like, it's almost like, I don't know, I wouldn't say he's a father, but, you know, she looks up to the man, even though he disappointed her and did her wrong, you know, allegedly. She just can't find it within herself to go, you know what? I would not be going through all this stuff if it wasn't for you. And I guess when she saw him after 7 months, it was emotional, obviously, and probably it was a lot of things going on that she couldn't really talk about. And she just sort of just stayed with the safe thing. Plus, her kids were there, so she probably couldn't just sort of...
I think it's different when you have someone in front of you. You know, when it comes to, like, all the raw emotion and a lot of discussion and you amp yourself up to have a certain conversation, but when you come face-to-face with someone, especially your husband, and it's been that long of a time period, I can understand why you'd be like, you know what, we're not going to have this conversation today. I need this moment with my husband. I need this moment with my kids, and I'm not going to spoil it. So I can understand that to a degree, but, I mean, you know, the way Melissa and Joe were talking, they were, like, convinced that they're going to get divorced or whatever. I mean, don't they know her? She's not going to get rid of Joe.
That's right. You know, and that part was very, I never think that Melissa and Joe would talk up things for drama, but I thought that they were just reaching in that moment. Like you said, they know her so well that for them to have this sort of, you know, clutch of pearls moment, like what would she do? They know that was not, you know, that was just a little dramatic for them to think this way. But you know what, going back to the meet, and I think that it was emotional for her, but it would have been a smart move if she would have sat home maybe and wrote a letter and, you know, had the meeting and everything and did the hugging and reconnecting, but said, look, these are the things I can't say right now because our daughters are here, and gave him a letter so that way he had a chance to see what she was feeling. The cameras wouldn't have been around and they can sort of start the dialogue, because if she hadn't talked to him about it and she was going to face him in that moment, that means that she hasn't written him how angry she was either. Right. So she should be able to, you know, maybe in private, write this letter, hand it to him in person, and he doesn't have to read it in front of the, you know, the children. And then once he get, you know, what's in the letter, they can start talking through the phone or through writing. She can go down and see him again by themselves, and he would know exactly how angry or, you know, how disappointed she is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no doubt he would read that letter if it was in front of him like 400 times, because what else is he doing? You know, a conversation could come and go and he could forget certain points that she brought up. But a letter, that really does hammer it home a lot more. I mean, it's not the worst advice to give. I agree.
Yeah.
So
and you was right. I was going to say, and you were right about the fade to black thing. They pulled the Phaedra because that's the same thing. Mm-hmm. What you said. Okay, there you go. That's the same thing they did when Phaedra took her little boys to see Apollo, and it went right to black, and they had the same description. Well, you can't go into the prison with cameras, and, you know, then they came back, and they looked sad, which is sad. Even with Phaedra and with Teresa, both when the women came out, and they were with their children in the car visiting these guys. Very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad moment.
Well, Teresa does open up about it. She says that she did tell him that, you know, he was responsible for her losing 11 and a half months, and that's not what she signed up for. And Joe said that he did apologize in letters previously, and this time he did apologize to her face. And, you know, Joe kind of made a comment. It was like, wow, I'm really surprised he did that. Well, I'd be really surprised if he didn't. That's his wife.
Mm.
So I don't get that comment. But then Melissa says, yeah, well, it was kind of a really big mistake what he did. Yeah, I know that. I don't think that Teresa needs to I don't think we need to play up the severity of the situation with Teresa. I think she knows. She did 11 and a half months in prison. You know, she's paying the price for not only for 11 and a half months, but for years.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just, you know, they have to say something, but I don't know. What do you even say? You know, what would be even the right thing to say? And nothing. Both of them, Melissa and Joe, just kind of looked at Teresa like, what do you even say?
Mm-hmm. I think that they did it. Joe and Melissa did a wonderful job for a long time. But I think that at the end of the series just here, they maybe were talking to producers or somebody and say, you know what, you need to really... Let's talk about something a little more provocative, because the season itself has not been that provocative. It's not been that, you know, exciting. It's been very emotional. I keep bringing it up because I don't watch these Housewives shows and get choked up. But a couple of times this season, when they talk about the grandmother, and then also in this episode with the birthday and also some other things that was happening, I found myself getting a little choked in my throat. This series itself got me emotionally. It's not, you know, campy or sassy or shady. It's just very emotional with all the states of their lives, whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the past, I've struggled with the show being boring, and it was too much about family and all this stuff, and it was too much about Teresa. It was very Teresa-heavy, but this season, they got it right, and it still was all about all those things, but there was some fresh energy to it. There was a touch of crazy. There were ridiculous moments, so, you know, the season overall, it really got a pass from me in a good way.
I was going to say, and also... they didn't have it throughout the whole season, but Margaret herself, you know, that party that she threw, you know, even though it wasn't like the other series, but I thought it was a pretty cool party. I thought she had wonderful liquor, wonderful decorations, great dancers. Nothing was floppy or looking crazy. People looked like they were having fun. It looked like it looked promising. It looked like if they brought her back and maybe brought back somebody else who, you know, was a little well off, it would make it a little more, you know, I know, compared to other cities, you know, make a look, because everything, it doesn't have to be working out, going to the same little spot to shop that, go to the same little spot to, you know, start up a little pizzeria. That's too domestic. You know, you need a little more excitement.
When we return, we're going to be taking a look at the birthday gala of Margaret Josephs. We're going to be looking at the highlights of this party, the finale, that and more with Jamel in a moment.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Subscribe and spread the word.
There are a lot more rants to come.
Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms.
And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Housewives fan and online buddy of mine, Jamel Starks. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And we're going to be taking a look at this this birthday, Margaret's birthday. It's supposed to be Studio 54, but it said Studio 50. Inside. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I was like, huh? Is that how old she was turning? I don't remember how old she was turning. What I was curious about, though, the dress ended up looking okay. The hair, the very overdone makeup. But what was going on with it? She's wearing, like, clear plastic heels. Did you catch that? That was bothersome.
You know, I did. I missed that part, too. I mean, again, I didn't see the heels, but that is pretty I guess New Jersey, probably.
I guess. I don't know. To me, that's like, you know, going to the mall in 1996. Like, I'm like, I don't know what that's all about. But, I mean, nevertheless, she did a whole full party makeover in that ballroom or wherever they were. I believe it was the ballroom. And it was a lot of black and white, but mainly it was black. A lot of the people who worked the party were in black. It was a lot of black decorations, a disco ball graveyard complete with headstones. cool lighting effects. I actually was kind of into this party. This was New Jersey on a different level. It reminded me almost of Teresa's first party that she had in that house. Remember, she had like a full DJ and lighting and valet. It was nice to go back to that.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think that besides Teresa, when they had money, you know, I think Caroline, she, you know, with the brownstone and just sort of things they did, and the brownstone itself, It brought such a flavor to the show because you had a lot of people, you had food and people drinking and dancing and all that. And then, you know, when Caroline went and then Teresa had money problems, everything was sort of dry. It was nothing happening. They went in the basement, you know, I think a couple of seasons ago with, I forget, this married couple who was there for a moment. And that was it. It was just basements and things like that. This, you know, was in a nice little wooded area. It was like a nice backwoods of New Jersey somewhere. Beautiful home. It was still in construction. The woman knows, she knows about design, I guess, you know, and she really pulled out all the stops. It looked like people had enough to drink. It looked like they had, like you said, great lighting. Again, it's not Atlanta. It's not Beverly Hills. But for them, I give it an A.
Yeah.
It just was more than just, I don't know, just picnics and parks and grass. And,
right. You know, oh, yeah. It was something. I agree. It was a good backdrop for a finale. I was totally into it.
And I was going to say, and the people and the ladies, thank God, they were a little shady too, which was a good thing.
Yes.
You see, with the party and Margaret wasn't backing down either. She was, we'll get to that towards the end too, but she had a backbone a little bit. She was like, I don't care if it's the star of the show, I have an opinion about her, I have an opinion about this. They were shady a little bit. I said, okay, you know, okay.
She had an opinion, and she also had photos of herself, like live stick-on posters. I think it was kind of cool. I think that there should have been more than one image. You know, what's the point of hanging up these big, larger-than-life posters if you're going to have the same photo?
That's right.
But I like it. It's about her. I kind of think it's kind of fun. And I like that when later in the episode, when they were fighting outside, like over her shoulder, all you saw was like these big posters of her inside the house. It was just so absurd. And I live for stuff like that. So I'm good with that. And the horse entrance was a little anticlimactic. I call it anti-cli. Yep. You know, I'm like, what is that? I mean, it was a little unnecessary.
They moved to about three steps. It was a fake horse. She stumbled to get on top of it. She moved over and that was it. Bam. I said, wait a minute. Nothing else? Okay. Well, that was a fail. Come on now.
Yeah.
No.
It wasn't even an entrance because everybody watched her get on it. So, I mean, but I'm like, all right. Yeah.
She could at least have some curtains probably, right? To go behind the curtain. Like, the, you know, what they did with Boy George, you put them behind the curtain. They say, hey, here I am.
Yeah,
no, she had no curtains. She had nothing. It was just stumble up on the horse, honey. And then she came over about three steps and bam, I was like, wow, no. But it was so kooky and wrong. It was hysterical. So there you go.
Perfect for the housewives. That's the stuff that I enjoy. This party, the absurdity of it all, the looks, even, I'll even throw in the plastic shoes, right? Even that I like, even the plastic shoes. Siggy is late. And then we find out she's late because she's been in the hospital. She fell down a flight of stairs and, of course, you know, rumors what happened. Oh, she's a swollen and a broken ankle. It's terrible. And of course, Danielle, my girl, she says, well, that's another deflection just for all of our attention. And of course, Dolores calls her a slob. And I was like, please keep going. I'm not that like bad where I love seeing women fight. But I'm like, I just want to see Danielle, you know, really just let Dolores have it. Dolores, in my opinion, has been a lousy friend and not a lousy housewife, but an underwhelming housewife. And Danielle put the show on the map. She should be able to she should be able to just go in.
Yeah, I think that it was like, I think, again, all the cast this season, I think they were adjusting to Danielle, I think. I think they saw her come back and thought, okay, what is she going to do? What's she going to have? Because everybody was pretty muted. It wasn't really fireworks and everything. So I'm excited to see next season, because even Danielle, she was testing the water. She didn't want to go in and go, okay, do I have to deal with another Dina, another Caroline, and get creamed and drive myself crazy? Because she's very emotional and very sensitive. So if the whole cast go against you, she can, you know, have a breakdown or have that thing that she had the first two seasons. So she was very muted. But like you said, that moment when the rumor happened that Siggy could have been faking it, or that she was hurt, whatever, it was a little twinkle there of season one of Danielle. Because Danielle, she's formidable. You know, she's not an angel. And if she can, you know, push a button, she'll do it. And so that was a little twinkle of maybe, hopefully she'll take it a little further, you know, during the reunion next season. But what you said about Dolores, we skipped over some things. The only thing I want, it's not major, but I find Dolores' relationship with her ex-husband so weird. I'm thinking, if you know what's so funny, it was so hysterical this whole season. She keeps saying that my boyfriend is not returning my phone calls. You know, I'm thinking, honey, if I was in a relationship with somebody who was living with the ex-husband, I don't return their phone calls either. So that was, you see, it was so curious to me that if you know the person you are sort of dating is now shacked up with your ex-husband, you're living, you know, and he's sort of questionable about his, you know, ways with relationship, I wouldn't be so fast to return your phone call either. So that was a little idiotic to me. You know, she's not really committed to, because that was so like, I know that you had a feeling about Dolores, but that was so, I guess because I'm dating myself now, I was so focused on how she's dating. And not even with anything else with her, because nothing else is going on interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, she's dating. She's not dating correctly. And I wouldn't return the phone call of anybody who's shacked up with somebody that they used to be in love with. I wouldn't do it either.
Yeah. How the hell can you build a relationship with someone when they're living with the father of their kids when he moved back in?
No. It's very questionable, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Yeah, she's an odd one. And, you know, some people said in the beginning of the season that he moved in for the show to give her a storyline. And you know what? I think I believe it.
Well, I think that he moved in to give her a show. I also think he moved in probably to give her a booty call in the middle at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well,
you know,
We never really did see where he was going to sleep. We never really saw that.
Yeah, I think there's something more going on, and then maybe they just don't want to be embarrassed, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, back to the party. Siggy sent a text only to Teresa and Dolores, and not the host of the party, explaining what happened. Rude, but not a shock. And then Melissa and Joe, they have this weird scene where Melissa's like opening up jars or whatever and trying to eat stuff around the house. And they both kind of just call Siggy a scam artist. And I was like, well, that's an interesting scene. You could tell they had some fun with it. And Melissa was blitzed. So I think I kind of liked that moment. It was so stupid.
It was stupid. It was. I was like, I mean, it's just like a Mitch and match of different things that the producers and the cast, you know, were trying to do this season. That was you're right on to pick that one out, because, you know, that kind of scene can be more perfect. If not that it shouldn't be with a guy, but it would be good if she was being catty and shady with another woman, because it would build up the shade factor a little bit, you know. But between a husband and wife, it just didn't work. It didn't work. It was weird. And because Joe was not really, and he's not really catty. He doesn't really care about the other ladies, you know, so it was just a little, it was so weird.
I mean, I can understand why he doesn't like Siggy because of what she said, she said about his wife. But yeah, I mean, it's a little odd. I don't know. And like you said, those conversations are usually reserved for among housewives. But, you know, Joe doesn't shy away, as we know. So I've come to like them a little bit more. The more I see them in the press and stuff, I really do believe that that's exactly who they are. And now that they've been on this show for so many seasons, I do think that they're pretty authentic. I think whether you like them or not, it's what you see is what you get with them. I don't know about their businesses and their financials and the house situation that they have, but I think as far as people, I think it's pretty much you see what you, as you know, what you get is what you see. So,
well, I think that with Joe, definitely, I still have questions about Melissa. I really do, but it's because she is so sweet. And, you know, I think that when they were going to therapy with Teresa, we saw a little bit of what Teresa was saying since she first got on the show. She said, Melissa is not an angel. And what she showed was angel. So but she has a different side to her. And I think when Amber was there, I think that's what the girl's name was.
Yeah.
Amber, she also was talking, she pushed Melissa's button so badly, and we saw a different side to Melissa too. So Melissa has a different side. She can be condescending sometimes, you know.
And,
you know, like she was with Siggy, like, you know, your feel doesn't matter. I mean, a woman, of course, is going off the wall, but you never want to do that. You never want to do that to a person going off the wall. You don't want to marginalize them. You don't want to tell them that they feelings don't matter. She did it the whole season. And so, you know, yeah. So she, I like her, but she's not an angel. And I know about her, but Joe, you're right. He is what you see. You know, he just wanted to get laid. He wanted to do his business. You want to be a good father? That's it. Bam.
Right. Well, slam to the ER. Siggy says that she's a heel missed a step and she fell down 18 stairs. I'm not laughing at her. I'm just saying it's like, this is just so ridiculous, this whole thing with her. I'm just so over her. But she was released with a sprained ankle and a contusion on her arm. And she wants to go now to the party to confront Danielle, which to me is just a contractual obligation. You know, and that's all I thought. I was like, well, she's got to do her job and show up. It's the finale. And, you know, she's got to go to this at least to make an appearance. And we'll get into it. But that woman wasn't at that party for more than 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, that first of that fall sound terrible. I mean, it sounded very terrifying. I mean, at first when the episode was going on, I was almost thinking like they were thinking like, oh, she just made an excuse. We won't see her at all. And all we'll see is the closing credits where Siggy is, you know, whatever it is. But when they said she filled an 18 plus, I said, oh, wow. So I'm happy that the woman is not, you know, she wasn't hurt more than she was. And that's pretty painful. But it was another odd moment. You know, if you're that hurt and obviously you're on pain medication because you have to be on, you know, getting that hurt. Why in the world would you try to go to a crowded party just to tell the host you don't give a damn about her? I thought that was it. Yeah.
And you're walking around in slippers in someone else's house. I mean, I don't know what it is about the footwear in this show, but it's getting to me. This episode, I noticed these things.
Well, you know what's so crazy? You know what you're doing when you're seeing the show? You become a Michelle Visage. That's what you're doing. You from Drag Race. She's very picky when it comes to the drag queen's footwear, and you getting right on them. You focus right on. You could be on a panel of Drag Race. You're like, you know what? Your shoes ain't no. So because I'd be so focused on their faces and everything, and you said the shoe. I said, wow, he noticed the slipper, and it was plastic. I said, damn.
I'm watching. I don't claim to be a beauty queen myself, but I mean, you know, I'm also not being paid and having a wardrobe stylist to be on a Bravo show. So there's a difference. Right. Siggy does arrive, but even this is shady. She didn't tell anyone she was coming, not even the host, only Dolores, typical. And Teresa, in my opinion, she completely misses the mark. She says, oh, well, Siggy's here because she wants to make things better with Margaret. Not really.
No. Yeah, that's true.
No, I think Teresa, for the rest of this episode, has given her way too much credit. But Danielle, she walks over right away, like, where's Danielle? She's trying to be all tough. And Danielle's like, hi, I'm right here. And then instantly she backs down. Melissa says that she thinks that Melissa admits that she thinks Siggy threw herself down the stairs so she wouldn't have to go. And Dolores and Siggy laugh their head off about this. Now, if Margaret said that or Danielle said that, they wouldn't be laughing. So the double standard is so real. I don't like the double standard at all. Did you catch that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's rampant on Housewives shows in general. But yeah, it was true. If it would have been the other cast members, they weren't getting along with, they would have just sort of pounced on it. So yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but also, you know, when it comes to Siggy and when it comes to Melissa and Teresa, Siggy looks up to them as the popular girls a little bit. She sees them as the cool girls. So anything they say or do, because they've been shady in the interviews and also to her face the whole season, and she ate it up. She just ate it up. But whenever Margaret even make a blue comment about Hitler, which, you know, wasn't anti-Semitic, but it was odd to put there, she made a mountain out of a molehill. She made it to the worst thing that could ever be said. And you know, so yeah, it's true. basically, yeah, Teresa and Melissa has been just as shady to her as Margaret has been at times.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to episode 2 when they were in Florida and they were invited to Siggy's house and they all left with Danielle, you know, and they left, you know, Dolores and Siggy sitting there. I mean, they haven't been that much better than Margaret and Danielle, but whatever. Siggy says that she really didn't want to come. Again, rude. And Margaret says in her interview, she's like, look, I've never publicly embarrassed her or shamed her. I've never called her anti-Semitic. And I've already made up with her. Why does this woman hate me so much? But, I mean, the whole thing is such a mess. And she didn't want to meet with Marge Sr. I love it that's such a problem that she snubbed Marge Sr.
I know.
Who I've really come to like. I think that woman's foolish. And I really, and in a good, in the best way. And I've just really kind of, like, fallen in love with her.
You know what I would, for me, would be a housewife dream to have Margaret and her mother be in a scene with Jill and her mother. Because the two, Jill. Okay, there you see, there yeah. you go.
Jill from Come New York, now. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. You get them in a scene with the two mothers who are women of their own way, and those two ladies, and bam, boom. You know, that would be, because you're right, Margaret's mother is something else, and she's in a good way.
So Siggy takes one more swipe at Margaret, the host of the party and the birthday girl, by saying she never wants to be friends with her and that she's only there for Melissa and Teresa. So here we go, starting to draw lines in the sand. Teresa leaves with Siggy, and her update, her Real Housewives update, is that she's obsessed with Joe's body and she's looking forward to seeing Joe at his new prison. And she said straight out, my loyalty lies with you. She said straight out, my loyalty lies with you, to Siggy. That's surprising.
Mm-hmm. It was surprising because, again, like I was saying, the whole, well, maybe, you know what, maybe the thing that I thought about when I saw it was, she did have moments. Melissa was more marginalized than Siggy the whole season, absolutely. And Teresa was more bewildered, you know, on both sides. But I can't underestimate those conversations that Siggy was having with Teresa consistently this season about owning her power, talking to her husband. She always asked about her husband. She was really almost counseling her, probably off camera too, throughout the whole season. And maybe Teresa, like Dolores, finds some value in how Siggy operates. You know, as wacky as she is, as preachy as she is, all those things, maybe there's some value to her. So that was the only thing that I could even fathom, why she would leave her sister-in-law and Danielle, who she's becoming, you know, was trying to become friends with, and Margaret, who she seemed to like, at the party.
Yeah.
Because I think that Siggy being hurt or being made fun of or something like that, she decided, you know what, in this case, I'm going to go with this woman. And I didn't think she had any value for Siggy at all this season, but those conversations, nobody else was there. It was just them and some of those conversations. And she went to the photo shoot. Siggy's been around her. And again, I'm going to, you know, talk about another series. Ramona, they, you know, we don't see her on the camera, but she's such a caregiver. And I think Siggy's like that too. And maybe that really connected with Teresa, that she wanted to leave with her in that finale.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can understand, you know, especially like, we talked about it. Siggy's been kissing up to her so much, especially towards the end, that maybe she said, all right, I don't want to lose this friendship, so I might as well do one thing in the 11th hour to show, you know, that I'm not completely off the Siggy train. But
yeah.
Dolores, her update is that Frank is, what did I write here? Oh, that David is still unavailable. Oh, and Frankie's at school. Okay. You know, I'm goodbye, Dolores. That's my reaction to that. Siggy, she's working less, and I wrote down here, yeah, like much less. She just quit the show, so I don't know what the future is for her. I'm not that concerned. Melissa, her boutique and businesses, the restaurant, are all doing really well, so that's good. That's positive. I'm happy to hear that. Except one of the main business is closing, but whatever, we talked about that. So who knows? And Margaret blew out some pillar candle in her cake. Did you catch that? It was like this big tall candle that you would put in like a candle holder on a dining room table. Very unique. But she's the renovations in her house are going slowly, which I think are nonsense. It was just to make a joke about how they didn't want to take the decorations down. Well, all that stuff is rented. It was down before the last camera guy left, probably. But nonetheless, the season was pretty good. Margaret was a success. Siggy, I don't know what's going on. We know you're off the show, so I don't have any further advice. And Dolores, what are you going to do? You're floating on your own now. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next season. But for the first time in a long time, I'm interested to see what's going to happen next in New Jersey. Believe it or not.
I agree. I think that if I was the producer, I would keep Margaret. I would definitely have a conversation with Danielle to ramp it up a little bit. Definitely would keep, I would obviously keep Teresa and Melissa, but I would focus on Melissa because you know what? If Danielle and Teresa ain't going to fight, Melissa has to fight somebody. She hasn't really fought anybody. She was marginalized. And I would think about either Amber coming back or somebody new.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we need her.
I know. You know what? I keep mentioning her because it's pushed Melissa so bad, but I want Melissa to I want Melissa to ramp it up next season and more glamour. I don't want no more picnics, no more parks, no more.
Yeah.
No more little shops. You know, no more little three people in a fashion show. None of that.
Bump it up. I agree. It's funny you mention that fashion show because that fashion show is held. It's been all through these seasons, but this show has been shot through different seasons, like time of year. So she really does hold that show for when they're in production because this show's mainly been shot in the wintertime, and now this is the spring. I just noticed that they must hold on to that stupid observation, but she must really wait for that show. It's like a free commercial for her business, So anyway, we must come up at that time for some type of a hashtag for this episode. It's the finale. We talked about a graveyard, disco balls, shoes, slippers, plastic heels. What do you think? Any ideas? I'd like to just start with slippers.
Okay, I would say hashtag slip. Oh, okay. Hashtag slip. Wait a minute. I can't get the word out.
Or like slip, or maybe even slip.
I was going to say slippery. Hashtag slippery disco slippers, maybe. Because it talk about the disco, talk about the ladies slipping down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Talk about the slippers.
Disco slippers. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Let's do it. That'll be the hashtag, kids. If you want to tweet about this episode, please share the show. If you enjoyed this, we've got two more episodes with this reunion. So if you know someone that loves Jersey, send them our way so they can enjoy these shows. We're going to keep the episodes up on YouTube, and they'll hang out over on iTunes for a while, too. So, check out the show and tell people to enjoy it and listen to the main show, of course. We're going to be coming back with episode number 80, which I'm really proud of. So get ready to continue to support that show, and I appreciate all the support and the listens with this after show here that I've been doing, this little recap. I can't believe the amount of people that listen to this recap. So it's been excellent, and I appreciate everyone for checking it out. Again, hashtag disco slippers, and I'll be back with the reunion. So, Jamel, thanks for talking with us once again. I love your perspective.
Thank you so much. I mean, again, it was an emotional season, and it was just good to sort of vent and to, sort of talk about it. Because it was weird, but it was good to, talk about some of the things that we liked about it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, I'm feeling pretty good about it. And like I said, I haven't felt this way about Jersey in a long time. So overall, pretty good. Looking at the reunion, I'm going to rate the season with a solid B. Now, it's a little scaled down because this show hasn't been performing well. It's almost like a student in school. They show some promise. You want to show encouragement with good grades. So I'm giving this season a B, and that's a good thing. Because I can tell you right now, there are certain seasons and shows, more than one, that are currently airing that I would not be giving a B or above to, just given what I'm seeing right now. And at that, I will leave you to guess. We'll be back with more rants. Thanks again for talking.
Oh, thank you so much.
Have a good night. Adios.
This has been Grant's Rant Small Talk. Want more? Join the full conversation on Grant's Rant's Hollywood Talk Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Blog Talk Radio, and in the links below.